away, blah, blah, blah.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
There's a God that walks over the earth. Shalom, brothers and sisters. This is the day that the Most High has made, and we give him all praises. We give him all glory. This is your brother, V, also known as V the Preacher. And before we go into the lesson, let's just go before our Father in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. We pray for the scattered diaspora of Israel, and that our people will be encouraged, enhanced, and refreshed. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. So be it. Amen. So today we're going to have our brother Ray is here. Shabbat shalom, brother Ray.
Shabbat shalom, my brother. How you doing?
I'm good. We can't complain. We're in the land of the living. I'm in the land of the living and pressing forth and letting Satan know that we're going to chase him out the earth. But I'm so glad to have a brother like you that can come on and bring us a lesson on the Shabbat.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Again, it's always good to hear your voice. It's good to have your friendship, and it's good to be able to fellowship with another brother with his own goal is just to keep the commandments, and it's a hard thing to do in this time because not everybody wants to keep the commandments.
Yeah, most definitely. How's your family?
We're doing good. Like you said best, we're on this side of life, and they got another day to get it right, and they got another Sabbath to observe. So
right.
If we can learn how to keep the commandments, all the better for it.
So, brother, you know, I'm going to turn this over to you and let you go ahead and do the lesson. Yeah, but I'm going to be right here.
All right. I appreciate it.
All right.
Let me clear my throat. Shabbat shalom, Israel. How's everybody doing? All glory to our Father on his day, on his Sabbath day. It's a day, as like all the days that he created, but most importantly, it's a day that he blessed, hallowed, and sanctified. And can't get any better than that, because if he blessed, hallowed, and sanctified us, we will be in New Jerusalem. I mean, we will be out of the land of our captivity. We will no longer have persecution. We will no longer know what sin is. So we will not have death. We will not be clinging to these bodies that have cancer, diabetes, every affliction that you want to have, the Ebola virus, AIDS, man-made, or what have you. We will not have these things afflicted upon us. Be with our Father. With that being said, we'll do a lesson today on our Sabbath, be about the feast days of the Most High, Ahaya Sharahaya, and his son Yeshaya that lived out every feast day. With that, we'll start with Leviticus chapter 23, and it reads, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts." So we're going to look at this in two different ways. Do you proclaim what we're about to talk about to the children of Israel? Do you proclaim these days to anybody with eyes to see and ears to hear? Do you tell them what are the feasts of the Lord? Now, the other way I want you to look at this is for everybody that's on, everybody that heard, we're going to start off with our brother. He's going to take the role of Ahaya Sharahaya, of Ahaya. I'm taking the role of Moses, and everybody listening If you do listen to this, you are the children of Israel. So V comes up to me, tells me that these airways, these phones, laptops, everything of these things that we're listening to now belongs to him. And he tells me to tell you, children of Israel, that all these laptops, phones, and all these things, they belong to him. And you're supposed to go proclaim that to everybody else. So does that make this now a Jewish phone? Does it now make it my phone? No, it still states off, and it's still in the same state it was when it was first told to our brother Moses that it belonged to Ahiah. So whenever we're talking about these feast days, if anybody ever comes to you talking about the Sabbath, they've done away with it, the Sabbath is no more, it belongs to the Father. It's his. So he didn't pass it on. He didn't give it away. So if they tell you it doesn't belong to them, they're telling you that the Father don't belong no more. Same way with Passover. It never belonged to Jews. It didn't belong to Gentiles. It didn't belong to Moses. It belongs to the Father. So every feast day that we're going to read about only belongs to the Father. And we celebrate these days as a shadow of good things to come because we know who they belong to and, more importantly, what they represent. So with that being said, we're going down to Leviticus 23, verse number 3. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest and holy convocation. He shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. I know a couple of weeks ago, me and my brother, it might have even been 3 weeks ago when we read the Book of Jubilees. I even told you not to be pouring water. I mean, the Sabbath day is so important to the Most High. We can look at those that died and fell off because they would not keep the Sabbath day. We can see the man that picked up sticks that died because he would not keep the Sabbath day. So we're going to look at the Sabbath day real quick. And where we're going to turn to first is just from the Word, which is always important to make sure it's on our lips, coming out of our mouth. It's the thing that we are proclaiming all the time. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. And it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So in Exodus 20, and it's important that we refrain, or not refrain, but go back to Exodus 20, to point out that this is at Mount Sinai that the rumblings and the shofar sounded and the Most High gave out these commandments. Yeshua gave out commandments at Mount Sinai. The reason why it's important is we can look at Acts chapter 7, verse 38, because we are the same church that was at Mount Sinai. So we understand the importance of when these commandments were given, what place it was given, and then we can look at the New Testament and let us know that our body is the same body that existed back then. So we go back to Exodus 20 to bear that fruit out so we can understand our relationship with the covenants and where we belong in them. So we saw that Mount Sinai when he first spoke of how important that Sabbath day is. So we're going to look at Exodus chapter 31. And we're going to look at verse 12. And it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord, though sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath thereof, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth shall surely be put to death, for whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off among his people. 6 days may work be done, but the seventh is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made in the communion with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of Ahijah. Keep the Sabbath day throughout all your generations. If you live in your generation, if you have some seed, their generation, you teach that seed to have the Sabbath day for their generation, and so on and so on and so forth. Because it's a perpetual covenant. That means it keeps going on and on and on. So with that, it's easy, especially if we Israel. If we Israel, we have eyes to see and we have ears to hear. And we keep that Sabbath day. We pretty much trying to stay in line with it. We believe we should keep the Sabbath day. But for those family members of yours that don't keep the Sabbath day, for those that can't wait for the first day of the week so they can break our Father's law, we're going to read just a couple of scriptures in the New Testament that shows their relationship, what they have with the Sabbath day. Probably won't find too many because, again, it's the New Testament. But let's see what the Word says. See if we can find some. Acts chapter 17, verse 1. "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for 3 Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Messiah had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, Yeshua, whom I preach to you, is the Messiah. And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks, and not a few of them leading women, joined Paul and Silas." So there, the same way that it was commanded back to Moses to tell the children of Israel, well, guess what? Paul was telling the children of Israel, at least at this point in Thessalonica, 3 straight Sabbaths. As we started off, he proclaimed, he told them, and then he also told them Yeshua was the same one at Mount Sinai that gave the gospel to them, gave the gospel to us, and he was the one that was first fruits from the dead. That's what you see in Acts 17, 1 through 4, what we just read. Luke 4, 16. "So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read." That was Yeshua. His custom is to go to the synagogue, the same way we just saw Paul do, and he read, and he kept the Sabbath day. Everything that was taught to Yeshaya from the Father, he completed here on our vineyard, this portion, his inheritance, he did. So we see two. We go to Acts 13:13. Now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Philippi, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and sat down. And after reading the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, "Men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." So, in Acts 13, he sailed from many different cities, got to one city, Antioch and Pisidia, went to the synagogue on a Sabbath day. He read the law. Could have been reading Leviticus 23 like we're going to read today. Read some of the prophets, which we're going to do today. And then after he got done, basically he got some exhortations to give to the people. Can you make them feel better? The one thing I can say, they asked me for some exhortations for the people. As you're going through your trials and tribulations today, as you're going down to our last days, take hope and pride that the Most High has been true to his word, and you can be saved from your sins, that you can be saved and not know death. Part of that, to know that you can be saved, is being that sign. Keeping that Sabbath day as a mark between you and the Most High, between you and the Creator. 1842. So when the Jews went to the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broke up, many Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who were speaking to them, persuaded them to continue the grace of Ahia on the next Sabbath. Almost the whole city came together to hear the word of Ahia, Ashar Ahia. So in Acts 13, we see that he was teaching Israel. You know, the same one we can look at in the Romans letter, that he was a Hebrew Israelite by the tribe of Benjamin. When he was telling those Gentiles, don't think of themselves too highly because of Ahia made his covenant with Israel and he was willing to separate us from it, what would he do to you? He was teaching Israel. But then, like we see in the Romans letter, we see the Gentiles begging to hear the word. Not the ones that were already in a covenantal relationship with the Most High. Not the ones that have been hearing this word from family members, ancestries, not the ones that knew some of the law. We're talking about the Gentiles, the ones that didn't know the law. The ones that you see your brothers and sisters that are Sunday worship, some of those black ones, some white ones, some Hispanic ones, all those that claim on the first day of the week, those ones, they didn't know nothing about the law. And if they knew something about the law, probably in the same state as the ones I'm talking about, know very little. And they came and they preached and begged him and said, "Hey, teach us this word." Now, if the Sabbath was done away with, it was easy for him to tell them, Gentiles, "Hey, we're getting away from this Sabbath thing. You know, we're getting away from what the Most High told Moses to all the children of Israel that you're supposed to do. We're getting away from this perpetual covenant that you do from generation to generation. We're getting away from what was told to you on Mount Sinai. You just come on Sunday." But that's not what he did. That's not what he said. He taught them the word. And not only did he teach them the word, that word spread out because the next Sabbath day, almost the whole city, even more Gentiles came out. They didn't come out on the first day of the week. Come out on any other day. And I'm not saying that all of them Gentiles came out and they were knowing how to keep the Sabbath, but they came out and they understood that they had to come on the Sabbath day. So that's when he was teaching this walk. So we see that in Acts 13. So we see Yeshua kept it. We see the apostles keeping it. And it continues, Acts 16. Acts 18, Acts 20, which we're going to get into a little bit more. But continuing now with the law, to understand that the feast day, one of the feast days, belongs to the Creator. And the reason why I said one of the feast days, because that's the first one we got to. And the first one that he put so much importance on was that Sabbath day. It's easy to count, 7 days a week. I know me and my brother, we done talk from time to time, and I told my kids can't calculate these jubilees. As much as I spend some of my time trying to study on them, listen to some other words sometimes from Enoch or Jubilees, Jasher, I still can't calculate the years of the Most High, but I can count these days. Easy for me to see on the seventh day is our Sabbath day. So, Leviticus 23:4. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocation, which you should proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month, at even, is the Lord's Passover. So we have the Lord's Passover. And that happens only once a year. I know you'll go to many churches. You hear them worshiping on Sunday. And they'll tell you, well, we're taking the Lord's Supper. This is the Lord's Supper. But it only happens once a year. There's no doubt about that. Because that's what's ordained by the Father. When we look at the Passover, we understand what that means. To get a clearer picture of what that means, we're going to look at Exodus chapter 20. In Exodus chapter, Exodus chapter 12. In Exodus chapter 12, we see Moses taking that lamb, making sure all that blood that Israel does it and put on their doorsteps, that they will be passed over. And what was going to be passed over them? Sin. Death. The wages of sin is death. But they would not know death that night. They would not know what it was to die in their sin. So, the most important thing that you can look at that is the relationship of what the Passover is and what it means to your life. The example that was given Exodus chapter 12 verses 2 through 11. This month should be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying on the 10th of the month, they are each one of them to take a lamb for themselves, according to their father's household, a lamb for each household. Now if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest to the house are to take one according to the number of persons of them, according to each man should eat. You are to divide the lamb. Your lamb should be unblemished, male, a year old. You make it for a sheep or from the goats. You should keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it to doorposts on the lintel of the house in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that same night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled at all with water, but rather roasted with fire. But its head and its legs along with its entrails, and you should not leave it of any of it over until the morning. But whatever is left of it until morning, you shall burn with fire. Now you should eat this manner with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you should eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So the Lord's Passover, the Lord's Supper, it can only happen once in a year. Exodus 34:25. You shall not offer blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, nor to sacrifice the feast of the Passover to be left over into morning. John 11:55. Passover of the Jews was near, and many went to Jerusalem out of the country before the Passover to purify themselves. But the Passover was what was put in place to help you leave this world of sin behind. Do you understand that you have a path that you can walk? You have a day that points to the Most High. You have an example of what it is to have a sacrifice and do the same thing. Luke 2:41-42. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year, the feast of the Passover, and when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. So the Most High, not only did he teach everyone to keep the Passover, his family, his mother, they all did the same thing. They kept the Passover. When he was seized, he put him in prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. So in Acts 12, the Ruach, the Spirit, lets you know they're still keeping the Passover. But the most important, one of the easiest ways for us to look at it, 1 Corinthians 5, it says, clean out the leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. Therefore, keep the feast. Now, we talk about the Passover as a feast day. And here we see in the New Testament that Christ is your Passover, therefore keep the feast. Should it be confusion there, because we know the Father is not the author of confusion, but peace in the house of the saints. So if you're one of the saints, you stay to show yourself approved. If you keep the commandments, so you become a new creature, you understand, just as the Apostle Paul was, that the Passover is Yeshaya, and you're supposed to keep it. Revelation 5:5-6. And one of the elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Behold, the Lion, that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome, so as to open the books of the seven seals. And I saw between a throne with four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of Ahia, sent out into all the earth." Again, my brother and me, we read Jubilees chapter 2, when it talks about these seven spirits of Ahia that were sent out in all the earth. It talks about all those spirits that he did to help with creation. All those spirits, one for the wind, the ocean, the trees, even the breath of life that was blew into man. But here in Revelation, it still speaks about that lamb that was slain. So you would keep that Passover, knowing that the Most High, the Creator, did that for you, did it for me. We're going back to the law. And the reason why we call it the law is something that should govern your life, govern your thoughts. It should be your actions, your words, your deeds. You should meditate in the law day and night. That means you should be opening up the book and reading it. Read so you can get understanding. For all those things you need to do, get understanding. But Leviticus chapter 23, verse 6. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. In the first day, ye shall have a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days, and on the 7th day of the holy convocation, ye shall do no servile work therein. And the Lord spake unto Moses. So, for 7 days, we have the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:7, don't keep it with the same insincerity that you had before, but keep it with a new heart, a new mind. One of the best scriptures that I like about the days of unleavened bread, if we look at our brother Paul, and so many will tell you so quickly that all these feast days and all these other appointed times are so done away with, don't keep them no more. That long as you have Yeshaya, long as you know Jesus, you'll be okay. And what's so unfortunate about it, the one they call Jesus, you know, every time you open up a scripture, you ignorant fool, and read the books, he kept all these days. He kept them to be an example for you. So if he kept them, why wouldn't you? But we're going to go to Acts chapter 20, verse 1. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go on to Macedonia. So he had his disciples, his boys, his brothers Israel with him. You know, and if you had anybody close to you and getting into this word, and when they depart, there's a sadness there. You give them all exhortations. You pray for one another. You hope, you know, hey, I may not see you again. especially if you're doing this Lord's work. Somebody might come get you. If you're proclaiming all these things for the Most High, someone might come get you. Yes. But if you die in service to the Most High, that's a good thing to be. So, of course, they exhorted each other. It's good to see each other. But when you depart, you know that you go with the grace of the Father, that His will be done. And like Yeshua said, if they hate Him, they definitely going to hate you. Because at least they can say He had no sin, but we just changed it up a little bit. They still going to say you're sinful and want to kill you. At least shut you up. So we understand where He was at, Acts 20, saying goodbye. Now, verse number 2. And when He had gone over those parts, and He had given them much exhortation, He came unto Greece. And there He abode 3 months. And we saw the Jews lay wait for Him. And He was about to sail to Syria. He proposed to return through Macedonia. So He was in one place about 3 months, and He had some people laying in wait. They weren't going to do nothing good to Him. They're going to put hands on Him. Try to kill him if they could. He didn't understand what that was because he got bashed beside his head with a rock before. Almost killed him. All that they did was throw his body outside the city. So he understood what it meant to be laying in wait. Verse number 4. And there accompanied him into Asia, Sotor of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Archegrius, and Secundius, and Gaius of Debre, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tigranes, and Trimonius. These going before tarried for us at Taurus. And we sailed away from Philippi after those days, and of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Taurus in 5 days, where He abode 7 days. And He sailed away from Philippi after what? The days of unleavened bread, keeping the Father's feast days, still keeping the appointed times, still understood that right now we have our clock, the Gregorian calendar. I think they had a, starts with a J, they had a different calendar, thinking Giuliano. Something with the season. They had a different calendar back then, but still, what calendar they had back then and what calendar we have today still makes no difference. You need to be keeping the Father's appointed times. And He sailed away from Philippi after days of unleavened bread. I'm going to go to verse number 7. And upon the first day of the week, when disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow. He continued his speech until midnight. I'm going to read all the way down to 16. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. There they sat in the window, a certain young man named Ithias, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore come up again, and had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. And we went before to ship, and sailed unto Assos, there intending to take in Paul, for so he appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And when he met with us at Assos, he took him in and came to Mytilene. And he sailed thence and came to the next day over against Chios. The next day he arrived at Samos and tarried Torgalon. And the next day where he came to Miletus, and Paul had determined to sail to Ephesus by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted if it were possible for him to be in Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. So we look at all of this, and the reason why I wanted to read all this, because the most important things that you have to do every day is learn how to keep the commandments. Every day, learn how to walk in the statutes of the Most High. Even if it's death along the way, he had death along the way. Even there's a miracle along the way. There's a lot of travel along the way. Even if your enemies want to kill you, he still keep the Father's appointed times. You still understand what your place is with these feast days. Again, we started reading out of the law. We understand these are the feast days of the Most High. All these things that transpired in Paul's, from what we will say, first fruits, the first of the week, all the way up until Pentecost, he was keeping the Father's appointed time. And it was important to him, for he hasted. Again, all these different teachings and all these different things, it was important to him. It wasn't because Israel wanted him to do it. It wasn't because he was just trying to pass over some out-of-the-way Hebrew Israelites, some Jews, because they were confused about the law, and he was trying to teach them a new way of the law. It was important for him to keep these feast days. As it says, for he hasted, if it was possible for him to be in Jerusalem the day of Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks. So, going back to Leviticus 23, the law, the exhortation, the proclaiming is what's important. We're going to start at verse 9 again, and we're going to finish up at verse 10. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give unto you, ye shall reap the harvest thereof. Then ye shall bring a sheaf of first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And ye shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On that morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. So the first thing we read about was the Sabbath day. We read about the Passover, Days of Unleavened Bread. Here we're going to go into first fruits. Understand, right now, Yeshua is the first fruits of the dead. He's the first of that harvest. Are you going to be harvest like the Creator showed you how? The Creator got harvests. He was first fruits because he did what? He kept the commandments. He kept the Sabbath day. Kodesh. He walked in all the statutes and the laws. He understood that it was his job to build up the kingdom every day of the week. He stayed in prayer and supplications. He buffeted himself so he could make sure the sin would stay away from him. He walked on a certain path where he wouldn't be around dogs, swine, things that were not fit, literally as animals and spiritually as people, fit for the word. That's what he showed you. That's what the first fruits was. Are you walking a path so you can be harvested just like the first fruits? Are you going to be accepted on that day of judgment? Are you going to be welcomed in, my faithful servant? That's what we're talking about when we look at these feast days. Again, as Paul says, there are shadows of something good to come. There are shadows of something that came good already and something better, a better promise still to come. So we're picking up at Leviticus 11. And he shall weigh the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. on that morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And he shall offer that day when he waved the sheep, and he the lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And a meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire to the Lord, a sweet savor, and a drink offering thereof shall be the wine. The fore part of a hen you shall eat, neither with bread nor parched corn nor green ears, until the self same day that ye have brought an offering unto God. It shall be a statue forever throughout your generation and all your dwellings. Verse number 15. And he shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from that day that ye brought the sheaf and the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Even until tomorrow after the 7th Sabbath, you shall number 50 days. And you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Well, right there we see the account of 7 Sabbaths within one day. 50. In the Greek word, they call it Pentecost. In the Greek, they call it Pentecost. What did we read in Acts 20? We saw Paul living his life between death, salvation, helping, teaching, disciples, but he made sure he did what? 7 Sabbaths, and one extra day on Pentecost, and it was for him because he couldn't wait to do it. Now, anybody that tells you that this is something that's done away with, they don't have a good understanding of what the word is. I understand I'm counting my 50. I understand what first fruits is. I understand why I keep the Passover. Unleavened bread, I must eat it every day for that week. See, the Most High had a plan. Yeshua executed that plan perfectly. Yeshua is my first fruits. Yeshua is my Passover. I see the example physically as well as spiritually how death passed over my brothers and sisters of Israel, that they didn't die. But I understand if I keep that relationship with each feast days that's in the spring, it puts me on the best path. Now, verse number 17, Leviticus 23. You shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baking with leaven. They are first fruits unto the Lord. You shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and a young bullock and 2 rams. They shall be a burnt offering unto the Lord with their meat offering and their drink offering, even an offer is made by fire, a sweet savor unto the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of goats for sin offering, 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offering. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits of the wave offering before the Lord, but the 2 lambs, and they shall be holy in the Lord for the priest. And you shall proclaim on the self-same day that it may be a holy convocation to you. You shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. When you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make a clean riddance of the corners of thy field or thy regis, neither thou shalt gather any gleaning of the harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord, your Ahiah. Now, do you do this? Are you spreading this word to the poor, to the shut-in? Are you now that living sacrifice that we see in Romans 12? Present yourself as living sacrifice, holy unto the Lord. Are you walking after the same steps of Yeshua? Are you making sure that you leave stuff that you're proclaiming, that they can see that the feast days are an important part of your life? They don't got nothing to do with Christmas or Easter or Thanksgiving, Black Friday, all these man-made traditions that lead you astray. We're talking about the same thing that the Creator does, you do. That you leave some for the poor and to the stranger so they can have a possibility to be harvested too. How important is that for you, Israel? How important is it for you to keep our Father's words? Not for your own desires, not for your own lust, that you will humble yourself. You will show the Most High everything that's important, that His word has complete domain over your life, over your thoughts, over your actions, over your deeds. Are you spreading this word to your children? Spreading this word to anyone that will come around you? See, the feast days, just like it says on that Sabbath day, that is a recognition between you and the Most High. It's a way of saying you get it. It's a way of saying that whatever takes place, whatever transpired, I am keeping you first. I am keeping the Most High times, laws, and statutes. Is that what's important to you, Israel? Is the feast days something that you can't live without? I don't know about you, but there is nothing more important than walking in these laws, statutes, and commandments. So we're going to keep reading. We're going to keep in the law. And understand that the law is the blueprint for life. There's nothing in this world that will get you prepared for combat. Nothing in the world that will get you prepared for a diet. Nothing in the world will get you more prepared for worship. Whatever you think of, the Most High has already got it covered. The reason why is because, just like it said when we read in Revelations, the spirits that dwell in you are the spirits that create this world. So anything you long for, hope for, and wish for, He already took care of it for you. Only thing you have to do is be faithful, recognize that authority, and follow it. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of the blowing of the trumpets, and holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer offering made by fire unto the Lord. So the blowing of trumpets happens in the seventh month. We'll be celebrating ours coming up so soon on the 17th. Today, I think me and my sons and my daughter may come along too. But we're going to practice blowing on a shofar today. But again, the feast days are so important. So we're going to look at what it means to be a memorial of the blowing of the trumpets, past and present. The first time you can truly look at that blowing of the trumpets, you can look at Exodus 19, Mount Sinai. Yeshua came down with all his commandments, all his glory. The earth shook, the ground moved. All of Israel was there, scared to death. The shofar sounded. Ahayah Shah Ahayah, through his son Yeshua, spoke to all of Israel, giving out his commandments, his words. They were so scared. They told Moses, "You go up there. You hear everything that he says, we're going to conform to it because we feel like if he keeps speaking, we're just going to die." One of the reasons why you would think they felt like they were going to die because the wages of sin is death. Every time he spoke, they all were saying, "Man, we do this. And we just came out of Egypt. We had all these animals. We had false gods." I mean, we weren't just saying they had Ra and all these other things going on over there. Keep the Sabbath day holy. They weren't keeping the Sabbath day holy. Even after they got out of that place, they weren't keeping it holy. Honor thy mother and father. Don't be covetous. Oh, they knew they were going to die. He kept talking, man. He might have changed their mind and said, "Why would I save you? Ain't none of you worthy." So they were scared to death. "Hey, maybe we can hide behind this tree a little bit longer, Moses, you go and settle this down." So in the seventh month, there's a blowing of the trumpets. We keep that as a memorial. The same way we see in Exodus chapter 3 that his name is a memorial from generation to generation. Tell all the children of Israel, tell the elders that this is my name, Ahayah Shah Ahayah, forever. It's a memorial. The blowing of the trumpets is a memorial. We see in the past what the blowing of the trumpets was. We go to 1 Corinthians 15:52. Again, we're looking at the Apostle Paul. And he wrote down something about the trumpets. "Behold," I'm going to start in verse 51. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep," which is death, "but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So, do you know what the last trump is? Do you know what it's going to signify? You're going to hear the trumpets going. But on the last trump, all these things that we got in our head today, Israel, in these last days will no longer be a concern. You'll be changed. You won't have to worry about CERN. You won't have to worry about American soldiers. You won't have to be worried about the police. You won't have to be worried about no YouTube video. You won't have to be worried about the Chinese and their economy. You won't have to be worried about America and their dollar. Ain't none of this stuff going to be here. You don't have to look out your window and see chemtrails anymore. The water, you ain't going to be pooping in your own house anymore, pooping where you sleep. All this. He changed. He's going to come back. The last trump is going to signify, but the Most High has already ordained for what Yeshua is going to carry out. He's going to get his inheritance. Hopefully that'll be you, Israel. Hopefully it'll be me. as Paul says, I don't want to proclaim and preach and teach and find myself a castaway. So I'm going to buffet myself so I can make sure I'm of the faith. One of the ways I make sure I'm of the faith is I'm going to keep these feast days. I'm going to recognize the importance of it. Right here we see trumpets. What happened in the last day. But we also see what happened when Israel got together. It's so important that we keep our Father's time. That we keep his laws. We keep our life, Kodesh. Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of a Ahiah, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. See that faithful Israel. They're going to rise first. Don't you understand? Thessalonians 4, verse 14. For if you believe that Yeshua died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Yeshua will Ahiah bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of a high, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Can't you see how the Passover, first fruits, and now Trump is all linked together right here? That Paul's not teaching you a different gospel. He's not teaching you a different word. Do you believe that he rose up? Do you believe he's the first fruits? But some of you still sleep. Some of you don't know what it's like to be in the bosom of the Lord. One thing you know is fear. You got some people that's keeping you into these reality churches, keeping you into this online word. You have to, all means, search out, seek out the Most High. You must fellowship with your brothers and sisters. Understand there's going to be some trials and tribulations with the things I'm saying, that it won't come easy, because everybody that says they're of the Lord is not of the Lord. You may get around those that have a little sin in them. Can't be around those that have a lot of sin in them, because you just can't walk in that path. But it's for iron to sharpen iron. It's for us to lean upon one another and bear one another's burdens. We must keep us walking on this path for righteousness' sake. Must keep each other on this path for righteousness. We got to come together and keep these feast days. We got to come together and celebrate the life that Ahiah gave each one of us. To understand that it's a trumpet call that's going to come back for all the children of Israel. We got to teach each other the word, proclaim it. We have to guard the word. We have to protect the word. We have to keep the word, because that's what he's looking for, faithful servants. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things that we are reading about will be added unto you. A life without sin, no more death, plagues, no more slavery, No more persecution for persecution's sake. No more telling you a nigga, you a boy. No more being confused about where you sit and your place in this earth, which was made for you to keep these commandments. Revelation 1, verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. So John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard a great voice as of a trumpet. And then we see all of Revelations come down. We see all the word being manifested. How Israel, 144,000, 12,000 for each tribe, be saved. A multitude that no one can count to be saved. Out of the 12 of Israel, three of them on each side of the gates, north, south, east, west. We see all these things. We see all this in the Word. We see how he takes his adoring the woman back into the wilderness to reason with her. We see how the angels go, whoa, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth because things are happening that's going to be bad to us. You see the ones that he loves, he protects. We understand who the saints are, those that keep the commandments. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates into that city. We understand Adam and Eve lost their entrance, that you'll be able to gain it back if you keep the commandments. But that all starts with the trumpet. When that archangel makes that sound, when Shia says, hey, it's time for us to roll. No weapon against us will prosper. No weapon they can make can prosper against him, because he's everything they use, every weapon they can conceive of, every atom they want to split, the Most High is the one that's given them authority to even see it. Some of the stuff they can't even explain, but the Most High already knows how it all works and put it together. So comes, we will be changed in the blinking of an eye. How important is that? That you keep those days. Back to the law. Leviticus 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And you shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement before you, before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall be afflicted on that same day, it shall be cut off among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, that same soul will I destroy from among his people. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest. And ye shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of that month at evening. From evening to evening, so you celebrate your Sabbath. A day of atonement. Understand this. You need to get to the point where you just don't do any work, where you prepare for that day. You set everything else aside. take the word out. Read it with your children, with your wife, with yourself. Just to say, hey, thank you for a day I don't have to work. If you got vacation days, take your vacation days on the Most High's calendar. That's what I do. I put in for them. And the funniest thing about when I put in for the my vacation days, it shows you how good the Most High is, how great and wonderful He is, that I always give no muss, no fuss. While the rest of these heathens and pagans fighting for Christmas and Thanksgiving, I'm going to get some of those off anyway because I got to. That's how this law of land works out. But I always get my father's feast days. Nobody else fighting for them. They're unaware of them. If they ask me where I'm going, I'm keeping my father's time. Got a couple of people at my job who talk about the Sabbath, talk about some different things that I say now. But I keep my father's time. If I'm going to take time off, it's because I'm trying to keep his time. I understand that some of the days starts with a Sabbath day and they end with a Sabbath day. It might take a week. It's all right. So this year, I took my Day of Atonement, September 26th, all the way through October 8th. I understand how important it is. I understand that all those days are not Sabbath days. I understand all those days don't end up with my father, but hey, I don't want no doubts about where my mind and where my place is. I want to be able to keep the Day of Atonement on that day, do some other stuff that's important, then get ready for Tabernacle. Again, the Father clears the way for you to be faithful. The only thing you have to do is walk the path. Walk the path of righteousness. And here, on this law, is giving you a clear way of seeing what the path of righteousness is. It's giving you a clear way of seeing what you need to do to stay in tune. Just like you have a radio station, sometimes you can hear a little static. You got to tune it up a little bit so you can hear it. No more static. You want to stay in tune with the Most High so you can hear what He's saying. That your mind and His mind line up, you can be one. Comes back. That He sees that mark, that sign upon you, that you're keeping that Sabbath day, that you've taught others to keep that Sabbath day. Don't worry about what friends and family they do. Only thing you got to worry about is if you're keeping His commandments, if you're lining up with the Word. This is for the Most High to make the increase. He will decrease and increase as He sees fit. If He needs to take some burden out your life, He will. You see, He knew you from the womb. He knew how important your place is in His kingdom. Are you going to embrace what the Most High has already ordained for you? Are you going to live up to His high expectations He have of you? As much as I love my family, I understand they could be lost, that they don't know the error of all their ways. You know, as we say, amen, so be it. I understand my place is, I'm going to help try teaching the Sabbath day. Same day we talk, and we're talking about my Father's kingdom. They will get a righteous judgment. No way that they will say they didn't hear about the Father's word. I'm happy with that. I'd be happier if the ones I love can change and walk a better path. no reason why I'll be happy if they can walk in chains and be a better path, because every time someone gets baptized in righteousness, heaven shouts and is happy. Can you imagine? Again, the Most High has got you on Skype. The Most High can see you. He's talking to you like a Bluetooth. So if someone takes this is all wisdom. If you could get somebody to your life from the Most High, that's the beginning of all wisdom. You clean up a multitude of sins that way. So it's so important that we learn to humble ourselves, keep to the law, and teach and proclaim it as we saw in the beginning. Only thing I am is proclaiming what the Most High has already ordained, that these are His feast days, and I am lucky to be able to speak upon them. So we're at Leviticus 23, verse 34. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying the 15th day of the 7th month shall be a feast of tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day shall be a holy convocation unto you. Ye shall offer offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. He should do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, a meat offering, a sacrifice, a drink offering, everything upon this day, beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside your free will offerings, which you should give unto the Lord. Also, in the 15th day of the 7th month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day, ye shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the first day the booths of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the booths of thick trees, and willows of the brook. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year, and shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelite born shall dwell in booths, that your generation may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And most declare unto the children of Israel, the feast of the Lord. That's the reading of the law, Leviticus 23. Let the congregation of Israel bless his word. Amen. So he made the children of Israel to dwell in booths. And you know, the worst thing about how we look at some of the things of the law, because we're so wrapped up in the world of sin, so wrapped up with America and all their little goodies, that when we hear that he made us to dwell in booths, we think of that as something bad. That their 40 years in the desert somehow can compare to a couple of years here in America living in a nice house. Again, you got to remember their clothes never got old upon them. Their shoes didn't even wear down. Here, our clothes indoors in these houses wear down. Cancer is among us because of the same thing. I want you to look at this like this. Because the Father commanded us not to keep our toilets and the stuff we do in our same house. So you just look upon your little block, the area you live in. Someone's pooping in the toilet, defecating. Could be diarrhea, could be nice little foreign stools. Some could have C. diff in it, C. difficile and toxins in the stools. Some are probably so drunk they didn't vomit all in the stools. Last night's dinner, alcohol. Women's body parts from that time of the month, some people are throwing that into the stool, the commode as well. Besides all the different types of urination, the pee going into the stools from this area alone, from all the chemo and radiation they're putting aside our water. If you look in the area that I'm at, it's called Monterey County, Central California, and the cancer rate is one of the highest in the nation right here where I stand. So all this stuff is going to the toilet. We flush it down. It goes into this little thing called a centrifuge. I guess huge centrifuges, and they spin it so fast that the cake, and they call it cake, goes against the walls of the centrifuge, and then the water is strained out of the cake. So all the stool, vomit, women's parts, men's parts, all that cake is put against the wall and the water is strained out to go right back into the system again. And you wonder why there's so much death, so many lesions and stuff going across your body. But the Father, when he called us out to dwell in a certain way, we went and defecated even in our own camp. Understand the importance of Most High's word versus Satan's word. The illusion parents of goodness, if it does not line up from the word, it's not. It's that simple. But with that, I say shalom to my family in Walnut Creek. V, the Most High be with you and your family, Brother V. Shalom to Israel and this portion of the Most High Vineyard here in California, stretching up from the northern part to the southern part of California, that on this Sabbath day you've found someone to keep the Sabbath with, a loved one, a wife, a child. Even your animals are supposed to observe the Sabbath inside your household. That you proclaim this feast day, which is a Sabbath day, to anybody with eyes to see and ears to hear. That you proclaim the glory of the Most High, the creator of the heavens and the earth, that you proclaim that he'll come back one day as the sound of the shofar goes off. Claim that the last step will be a tabernacle for us, that there will be a righteous judgment for the children of Israel.